Cheers, everyone, and welcome to PWT Talks NXT. This was the go-home show leading into the latest incarnation of TakeOver Chicago. Decent-looking in some ways, weird-looking in other ways card. I think it'll be fun. I unfortunately won't be able to see it live because I will be at a music festival, but let's move on to who else I got here, and we'll cover all that later. So, Justin James, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Justin James, the Torch's TV correspondent. I am at Twitter at Justin_M_James.
Tom Staup, go ahead.
Yep, at Tom Staup on Twitter. I cover the MLW and NXT tapings here in Orlando. And I'm the guy who spends a week learning how to pronounce Zeta's new last name so I can properly give it to you here on the podcast, only to hear her in a Snapchat story say that say it with the most American accent possible. So that's me.
All right. And I am Kelly Wells. I am your host. I write the NXT tracker on the website. I'm going to hit you with a bit of a preview for TakeOver, kind of a state of booking like I do before every TakeOver in the next couple of days here before the show, which I will not be able to see live, which is going to be a first for me in the TakeOver era, I believe. A bummer, but let's get on to the show. We only had two emails this week. These go-home shows don't lend themselves to a lot of new questions and new thoughts usually, but yeah, let's talk about the TV main event, which was the only non... total. The other three matches were complete foregone conclusions. This one, I think there was some doubt, and O'Reilly's the kind of guy who can make you believe that maybe there's some doubt here, and they're giving the titles to the Undisputed Era, so who knew? Who knew what they were going to do with the funky, weird UK title? Pete Dunne versus Kyle O'Reilly, our main event. Tom, what did you think of this?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, all you need to know is O'Reilly and Dunn are in the ring together. And I mean, yeah, you sort of expect some shenanigans from the Undisputed Era, which the biggest surprise was probably that we didn't get it. But there's not much to be said beyond what we've already gushed about both of these guys individually. This match really delivered. And I fully agree that Dunn has gone on long enough in his title reign that even with a little, not really throwaway, but, you know, in the realm of a throwaway match like this, as far as title matches go, it does definitely create that doubt. And I will say that although in retrospect, I felt a little foolish thinking this, I thought that at his last defense on NXT TV against Roderick Strong, I thought it was a sure thing that Strong was going to walk out of there with the UK belt. So I'm definitely reaching that point with Dunn where I'm thinking somebody like O'Reilly could possibly walk away with it. And, you know, we've got this tournament coming up, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I still think of Dunn as kind of a new guy with a new title, and that's not the case at all. He's had that title for a year. it took a while for, the longest tenured champ in all of WWE, I imagine. So it's been
Brock
very
Lesnar.
Strange. Oh, right. Brock is still holding on to that thing. Never mind.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me. I have not seen the main roster almost at all in the last month. I've been watching New Japan and, of course, all of NXT.
I watch New Japan. I'm so cool and hip.
Well, it's good. I watch it because it's good. yeah. I'm not trying to be hip. I just like wrestling is all. But, yeah, it's... That's kind of what's been going on. So I'm not sure what I can add to the match. I knew that this was going to be good when it was booked. And when I saw this, O'Reilly is not somebody I'm going to say is underrated, because I think that anybody who's paying attention, he's not a surprise to anybody or anything like that. It's clear that O'Reilly is a great, great wrestler. And it's clear that these guys were going to have a great match. Stiff. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. So, yeah, I guess my bigger question out of this is, what is the UK title? I follow the NXT Instagram feed, and they were just showing Wolfgang celebrates his latest win at wherever. And I just go, man, he hasn't been on TV. What is he doing there? I mean, yes, he's getting paid to work. for the company. I just don't know what's going on here. Justin, go ahead.
I don't think he's even in the tournament, is he?
He's not. I don't remember seeing his name. I'll look that up. But Justin, go ahead and take it away on this main event.
Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, Pete Dunne, mind-blowing from the moment we saw him in the ring. Kyle O'Reilly, from the moment we saw him in the ring, outstanding. You knew this was going to be a great match. But what just totally blew my mind about it is that these guys had it. They didn't go like first, second, third gear. These guys were in like fourth gear the whole time. Like Tom said, it was a surprise that we didn't see on his video. You know, I'm watching with my kid, and my kid, who's not a booking genius, he's like, "Oh, when's the Undisputed Era going to interfere?"
You know, right.
And I was like, there was a clean pin here. I was really surprised by that. That it was a clean pin. I did not see the title shifting tonight simply because you don't want Kyle O'Reilly at the last minute being the champion for that UK bracket.
Right.
That just wouldn't make sense. Especially since, you know, it's like a day before this thing starts. So it just wouldn't make sense. But yeah, I mean, this match was, oh my goodness. Like the word I kept having to use over and over again in my write-up was transition. Right. And there's certain hallmarks that go into a 4-star, 5-star match for me. And one of them is going to be a large number of reversals and transitions. That's just one of those little touches that always makes a match awesome to me. Like Chris Jericho versus Daniel Bryan a million years ago.
Yep.
That match, you know, on the first episode of NXT ever, that match, when I just saw, I was like, oh, wow. You know, because at that point in Jericho's career, he was just lazy.
Yeah,
in the ring, he was lazy.
Yeah, you never knew what you were going to get with him, with his various – he'd show up and he'd be gone and he'd come back and suddenly he'd be super motivated. But yeah, anytime the announcers are saying no wasted motion, you know that the match is going the way that a fan wants it to go.
Yeah, I mean, this match, I mean, if you haven't seen it, the names Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly should sell you on this match. The reality was great. So I love this match, you know.
This was the main event of night two of the tapings, and after the cameras cut, Undisputed Era did try to come in. But then Birch and Lorcan ran down, and the UK connection got the better of the Undisputed Era, and that's how the two nights of tapings for NXT leading into Chicago ended.
All right, so as a final match, that had to be damn near the best match on the show. I mean, are there any other real
damn
contenders?
There was one other.
Bianca Belair, come on!
Well, she's fantastic.
You had a Bianca Belair match, and you're doubting that it could not have been the top match of the card. Kelly, you are out of PWT Talks NXT Club.
I know. I love Bianca like we all do now.
Nice recovery. I know. You were just joking. That's what people like you always say to cover.
Right.
It's the statements they make that they know they shouldn't make in public. I was just joking. I was being ironic.
Oh, Justin, you are
now, as I imagine they did at Download Fest for the first round of this UK tournament, they did tape one match of the UK tournament at these tapings. And for my money, although I wouldn't put it in the same realm as the match we watched tonight, but for what I look for in wrestling, I really liked that match, and I consider it the best out of what we saw. But I won't say who was in it or what the result was, since clearly they have not aired it yet. And, hopefully we see it as part of the tournament, and it's not just like a highlight package of what round one was.
Yeah. So yes,
but you'll know which one it is because it's the only one that took place at Full Sail.
Well, there you go. Wolfgang, indeed, not on this show, which is odd because some of the guys that were in the last show, like Tyson T-Bone and Joseph Connors and Jordan Devlin, they're back in this one. I don't know why those guys who aren't signed are back in it, and then we're not using Wolfgang, but maybe there's a different plan. And even Gentleman Jack is going to do this one. So,
and I really like what I've seen of Wolfgang too.
Yeah, he comes off and presents himself as a large man, but he can really move. He seems to me like somebody who could sort of fulfill a Bam Bam Bigelow sort of role. I don't know.
Sure.
You know, but I hate to say this. I don't want to sound like I'm knocking the guy who I just said I liked, but big man who can move just described basically every big man in NXT ever.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
NXT really rewrote the WWE playbook on big man.
Yeah. So we've certainly got some more of those guys, but I don't know if it's something about Wolfgang's build that reminds me of Bam Bam or what it is exactly, but I really dug him and was totally fine with that surprise win over Trent Seven leading to his final four appearance in that tournament. So, but yeah, Dunn and O'Reilly, I don't know if there's much we can add to it. That was a well-told story, and I can't wait to watch that match again when I'm less distracted because I had stuff going on in the house, but I was definitely watching the match. But yeah, good stuff there. Let's go to, gosh, the others are all so foregone, but since we have invoked the name of the EST, let's go to her. Bianca Belair defeats Aaliyah. Aaliyah debuts a little bit of new gear, headband and all. Not a headband, bandana. Bianca debuts blue lipstick because, hey, why not? And, yeah, Bianca wins, of course. Some really cool feats of strength here. Fun little match, short match, and I believe we've set up Dakota Kai versus Bianca Belair probably for that post-takeover show. So Belair versus Aaliyah. Justin, I won't make you wait. Go ahead.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Oh, jeez. Like, all the gushing is just welling up inside me, and you know it. You can feel it through this through this phone line. Like, there's so many things about Bianca Belair that I just love. And, I mean, even my kid knew. He's like, oh, Bianca Belair is going to win this, isn't she? Yeah, good call, kid. You know, I like that she does things like new lipstick, stuff like that. You know, it's just a nice little touch. Keep her fresh. Every week I see her, I'm just so impressed with her. And then she does something a little bit differently or turns the volume up a little bit higher on those things that make her so special. And I just say, wow, I cannot believe this. I just can't believe this talent that she has. She's just incredible. I don't know where they can go with Belair from here, but it's very clear that she's going to just wreck Dakota Kai next week. And position herself as the number one contender. I don't think that they want to be taking the title off Shayna Baszler yet and playing hot potato with it, unless the goal is to get it to Nikki Cross quickly so Bianca Belair can take it and sit with that title for a while, because Belair and Baszler are the two people right now who can take that title and really do something special with it. Nikki Cross title reign just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, and she might not be down there longer, all that long. And I don't think Baszler will or should be down there much longer if they're going to do anything with her, which we talk about ad nauseum. But I just – that's kind of what I believe.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, wait, aren't you going to put any pants on? He just goes, no time for pants. And he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Since 2007, The Sala Monster Sounds Off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
Before I throw to Tom, I am going to read this email from Chris Fielder, and we can comment on that as well. Hey guys, unlike Raw and SmackDown, this was a damn good go-home show for NXT. I've got three quick things for you tonight. First, my God, what a great main event that was. I dare say that was in the ballpark of Gargano versus Almas. That's heavy praise, but this was a good match. I absolutely love when wrestlers actually take the time to make the moves look real and look really painful like these guys did all match. I really hope this opens some eyes to Kyle O'Reilly's talent. And Dunn needs to be called up. Our NXT needs to focus more on him in the near future. Second thing is Bianca Belair is truly the EST. To be such a newcomer, she's probably the hottest female WWE has signed, right? My only problem with her is that I'm confused on if she's a face or heel. During her matches, she plays to the crowd like a face, but then she cut a no-doubt heel promo on Dakota. What do you guys think? Third thing is NXT has to have the best hype video makers in WWE right now, period. My email last week talked about how I'm ready for the Gargano Ciampa feud to end. Well, after the hype video this week, I'm right back on board and can't wait for Saturday night. Thanks, guys, for all you do, and as always, I love the show. P.S. Can someone email Harley and ask him if Aaliyah has the worst women's record in NXT history? Thanks, as always. Chris Fielder, baby. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. First off, Harley does listen to the show, and I believe he will be here for the post-takeover show, and I'll try to remember to ask him if Aaliyah has that worst record. I will say on the question of the hype video, NXT is a breeding ground for people who are going up to the main roster in all ways, so I feel like the future is bright for the hype videos of the main roster as long as they don't saturate things like they've been doing and serving too many masters. So hopefully whoever's making these hype videos is allowed to take the time to make something good on the main roster as well. I think the question of Bianca being a face or heel is a great one. I have a lot of thoughts on that myself, but I'm going to throw to Tom on this match with Aaliyah and everything that Chris Fielder said.
Yeah, sure. Regarding Pete Dunne, I actually feel like he's been very vocal lately, and his presence has increased. So I feel like they're at a good spot with him right now. Although, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we're ever curious as to exactly where this UK title is going to lead. I mean, the Belair match was a very good showcase of what she can do, as you mentioned. I hate to even point this out, but it's kind of what I do on the show. It did take her two attempts to get Aaliyah up in the Gorilla Press, and they just expertly edited that, which should not take away from Belair at all. Literally everything else she did in the match was extremely impressive. I wouldn't have been able to get Aaliyah up halfway. So, you know, even a failed
I don't think I could have leaned over to start. I would have just
yes. Oh, literally before starting recording this, I was helping my son brush his teeth and I felt something in my back. And I'm like, oh boy.
So, because you go to those tapings, you sit there hunched over on your phone, Tom.
Yeah, you know, that.
Right.
That doesn't help, and that could also contribute to why I feel Pete Dunne has been very vocal since I see him like three or four times in a night, and it's not all spread out. But the post match interview I absolutely loved just for the part. I was laughing like crazy when Belair said, "No, I'm gonna kick you. I'm gonna kick you. You ain't gonna do nothing." That really got me. So as far as whether she's a heel or face, I totally understand where everybody's coming from, especially this is a whole can of worms that I'm not going to get into. I just, to state it simply, I understand and agree with where everyone comes from on the heel versus face thing, and that it's very important to know who's playing what role. I'm a little bit more accepting of shades of gray. We sort of talk about this every other episode. Regarding Belair, though, I feel like we mentioned it this last time. I feel like she's towing the line well enough that it's working for me. She's effective. I still am invested in her matches. I'm not lost watching her matches just because I don't know which clear-cut role she falls into, if that makes sense.
And I feel that shades of gray are a lot more allowable in a breeding ground like NXT, because we're finding characters there. We're watching people evolve and grow into their characters. And so I can accept that. So we've got the War Raiders on this show, who I also believe are not exactly super obvious. I think the fact that they called out the Mighty here suggests that they're going to be working face, but maybe they're going to be tweeners for a while and they're just going to destroy everybody, because it's not like they're overly babyface. I mean, they attack their opponents after the match for no reason, so it's not like typical babyface stuff. I feel like with Bianca, they don't care right now. They're just like, the important thing is she's cool and she gets a reaction. And she's working against Aaliyah here, who they're... Aaliyah has been repositioned as face and heel like four different times, and just these soft turns, and it doesn't really matter because she hasn't been winning a lot of matches. I'm not 100% sure, but I think NXT is a place where you can put face versus face, heel versus heel, and not only can, but have to, because you don't have a ton of talent down there in comparison to like the main roster, where you got 15 faces on a brand, 15 heels on a brand, and you don't have to intermix all the time. So I don't know. I don't know what else we can say about Bianca that we haven't. But I think, too, Aaliyah is I don't know if she's a talking point or not. I really wish I knew what the plan was for her. She shows up every few months and loses probably no more than 5 or 6 matches a year. But she's been here for what, 4 years? I don't know. It's been a while. So I'm pulling for Aaliyah, and I hope something comes of this latest turn. So anything else on that? I am not sure there is. I think we covered what Chris Fielder had for us pretty well. So let's move on to EC3 versus Cassius Ohno. A foregone conclusion that I think was maybe a little shorter than I thought it might be. Not positioned as the main, and certainly I would love to know the time of this match, because it seemed like I blinked, I looked down, I wrote a couple notes, and it was over. So EC3 and Cassius Ohno. Tom, what'd you think on this?
I'm terribly sorry. I have nothing to say about this match, which is probably a comment in and of itself.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was a match that existed on this television show. That is, yes. That's pretty much
undeniable.
Is it bad? I mean, we start recording this about 40 minutes after the show ended, and about 10 minutes after I finished watching it.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I forgot this match was on the show until you mentioned it? Like, if I was hosting the show, I would gloss right on over if I didn't have notes in front of me. But I would be like, oh, yeah, that – yeah.
Yeah. I take notes, so we cover everything. But if I didn't, I believe that I, too, would not remember this match. It was fine.
For what it's worth, on the first night of the tapings, Cassius Ohno went over Chad Lale, formerly Gunner from TNA. To sort of beat him up for this one. Wow. And that obviously didn't air. So,
all right.
Detail.
So it was just to legitimize him in front of the live crowd before his,
I suppose,
eventual loss. I guess it could have made TV, but I don't know. I feel like him going over enhancement talent is something that might happen if it were a 2-hour show, but on an hour show every week, I guess they're not going to do that. So Ohno versus EC3. I did not think we would go very long on that. I don't know what the immediate plan is for EC3 here, because I would have thought that he'd have some kind of high profile match on TakeOver, but he's not booked. And of all the things that I've noticed, I feel like the add-on matches that we'll see the next week, maybe Kai Belair, maybe War Raiders versus the Mighty, and maybe Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole. So where does that even leave EC3, and does it matter? And here's another Shades of Grey guy. Is he good? Is he bad? He acts bad, but the audience is not giving the ideal response right now, but, you know, they're invested in him, and that's all they care about at the moment. So there you go, EC3. Oh, no. I won't belabor that either if you guys have nothing to say. So
I mean, the big thing to me is that I still it's not just that I can't tell if EC3 is a face or a heel. I don't know if he knows what he's trying for, and that kind of rubs me wrong. I feel like he's a babyface parodying a heel character, but doing it with a smirk and a wink.
Yeah,
like this thing he does where he sings his own entrance music, like that feels heelish, but then he does this goofy grin while doing it, like, hey, yeah, this is heelish, but I'm doing it because it's heelish, but I don't actually mean to be a heel. Ha ha. And when he was Derek Bateman a million years ago on the original NXT, that was his character as well, where he would just say these things that should make him a jerk, right? This whole chicks in America thing. But he did it with such a cornball thing where it's like you knew he was in on the joke.
Yep.
And it was endearing and it was funny. It was like a Jim Carrey character. But now that he's not this, like, you know, this goofy guy with, you know, with Weird Al hair doing chicks in America, but he's trying to be like, you know, the top 1%. It's like, it's not funny anymore. I just don't get it.
Yeah,
I'm definitely waiting for him to show me something. I'm sort of waiting for that because it's happened with plenty of other people. We were just talking about Jack Swagger last week. I reviled Jack Swagger's presence on my TV screen for so long, and it was literally just one night where my eyes were opened and I said, oh my gosh, I kind of like this guy now. I like what he just showed me. And I'm waiting for that with EC3 right now. Although at the same time, I kind of feel like with the favorable way he's being positioned, even though we're not really sure exactly what the direction is, and the engagement he's getting from the crowd, that a year from now, if he stays with WWE, which is easy to imagine at this point, I think, and if he's even if he stays in the same lane he's in right now without showing too much development on screen, I could totally see him in an NXT title match and possibly even winning.
Yeah, maybe so. Hopefully at that point he would be defined a little bit more and we'd know a little bit more about who he is. I'm waiting a little bit impatiently for that evolution because it's starting to seem like he's been around for a while and we've been having this conversation for a while. But then again, we had this conversation many times about Lacey Evans, and now I think we're all like, she's here, she's arrived, her character's here, and we know what she's doing. And hopefully that'll be the story with him too. Yeah, let's get to some of that hype. We had a hype video for Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross. I thought this feud was a little greedy. I thought that not using Nikki for so long and using Dakota kind of as a red herring was annoying, but the way that they have done these videos, like Chris Fielder said, they really made this work in a way that it might not have if they didn't have the videos. So I think this feud has just been bolstered so much by what's going on there, and a really good summation of what this feud really is. So got me hyped.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go to our resident Shayna fan, Tom, first for this one.
Oh, yeah. I guess I honestly don't have too much to add to that. I was already on board for this, and the video was just a nice little... I guess I guess the best thing I can say for it is that I kind of thought the storytelling was done here and they weren't going to give us anything other than maybe a graphic on the screen for Shayna versus Nikki. So I'm glad that we got basically a full-fledged segment for it. I liked the new footage of Nikki standing over the barrel fire. It was good. Another good NXT hype package. I mean, it wasn't quite Ricochet Dream, but it was good.
Yeah. All right. And Justin, anything on that particular package?
Oh, I thought it was really well done. And what really stood out to me about it was just how much better Shayna Baszler is in a promo setting now than she was a few months ago. Because the thing with the Baszler promo weakness was when she was like angry or mad or otherwise had to be like a strong emotion, she was really strong. But when she had to talk calmly and patiently, you know, because it didn't call for, you know, she kind of suffered, and she's just doing so much better now with her promos.
For me, I think that's what she does best now. I love when she does that. It's very natural. And I look forward to this, and I guess I almost hope that Baszler loses so she can go and get something started with the horsewomen. On the other hand, I haven't been watching a lot of the main roster, so man, yeah. I don't know what I hope for at this point.
You must be a very happy man.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I have not felt like I missed much about from that either, from the main roster. But yeah, I mean, this thing, I don't know where, I don't think it's time to take the title off Baszler yet. I don't think Cross is, like I said, I don't think Cross is the right person to hold the title. I want to see this be Cross's swan song out of NXT. I think she hung around after the departure of Asuka because they needed an established star.
Yeah.
Between Asuka and Moon going. Baszler is now an established star. Bel Air is an established star. Kai is an established kind of star. Kairi Sane, established star. Lacey Evans is in that Dakota Kai spot as well. They now have a strong rebuilt women's division. They can send Nikki Cross to the main roster, and so I can see Bianca Belair versus Shayna Baszler in one of the most brutal women's matches NXT's ever seen at the next TakeOver.
Yeah, that could be tons of fun.
Put those and, two in a cage.
Sure. Yeah, do something. Let them be mean, and that'll be good stuff. So the other video package was Johnny and Tommaso, and of course Chris Fielder talked about this. So anything more on these guys? Who I think are going to probably finish the show because I just don't know that they trust the quality of the NXT Championship match. So on Johnny and Tommaso, Justin.
You know, we've talked ad nauseum about this. I think that this will be a great match. I think that, you know, they did so much, like our previous emailer said, you know, they've done so much with these video packages that even though I thought this feud was, like, beyond well done and far into overcooked territory, I've now totally reignited my interest in this thing, and I want to see where it goes. But I do definitely want this to be the end.
Yeah, it's definitely time. And Tom, go ahead. And if there was anything on the tapings for this that that we didn't see that they may have done live, go ahead.
No, I think I covered that last week with the extra attack from Johnny after he busted Ciampa on the LEDs. With this one, I might be getting too nitpicky here. It didn't really hype up the feud for me. It just sort of made me feel like the guys were being overproduced by being, now give us a reaction to this part of the feud. Now give us a reaction to this part of the feud. And I suppose it was creatively put together, but it didn't come off to me as realistic, that these guys actually would have been sitting there staring into a camera reacting that way. Maybe I don't watch enough legitimate fight sport promos like this. Maybe real fighters do sit down and do these sort of dramatic things just to sell their match. And I'm just not familiar with it. But this just felt a little bit over produced to me. Yeah, I'm with seemingly everybody else in the world in hoping that this is the blow off here, no matter who wins.
Yeah, and what are these guys going to do after? I hope there's a plan, and I hope that they're not shiftless because the company can't seem to think of what to do with them afterwards. Because we've seen a lot of tag teams in the past. When I started watching wrestling in 1990, when I started seeing teams break up, Rockers, Hart Foundation, whoever, there was always somebody who suffered a lot. It was very rare that both guys did okay. I think Marty had a shot, but Marty had some demons, so those got in the way. But there was always somebody who got kind of left behind, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen here. I don't think it's going to happen here because I think there's strength in both of their stories. Tommaso has become just such an exemplary heel, and Johnny's got his thing going on. He's got a massive fan base, and now he's got a new storyline going on with Candace, who knows how that can go. It could be the worst type of soap opera tripe, but I trust that in NXT anyway, they won't resort to the status sort of stories they could tell. So I don't know. Looking forward to the match and looking forward to it being the end. The only other match we had on this show was War Raiders versus Justin Storm and Ricky Martinez. I apparently did catch both the names, so that's cool. War Raiders faces or heels? I guess faces, based on the fact that they are going to take on the Mighty.
Did you see the way they did their entrance? That was a very face entrance.
It was. So I think that maybe is what they're going to do. We haven't seen the Street Profits for a few weeks. So
no, we haven't.
Do they know what they're going to do with them? I'm not sure. I mean, I guess you got to kind of take turns getting TV time and getting your push and doing what it is you do. Maybe they're just looking for that next thing that the Street Profits are going to do. But we saw a couple of things backstage from them, but we haven't seen a Street Profits match proper for a while. And not a whole lot out of Heavy Machinery, but a little bit. But yeah, on the War Raiders, if you guys have anything, go ahead and stop me. Otherwise, I am just going to go on to the Alistair and Lars, whatever is going on with that. Okay, let's go on to Alistair and Lars. I do have an email about that and about a couple other things from Paul Diem. Hi, guys. Love the show. Always one of the highlights of my listening week. And I say to you, Paul, getting an email from a new fan is our highlight. So here we go. First question. Thinking about it being June and hearing Mauro talk about TakeOver being part of Money in the Bank weekend, it reminded me that my first WWF pay-per-view was King of the Ring 94. Obviously not a highlight to be the first pay-per-view I attended, but it still holds sentimentality for me. Do you ever think they would bring back King of the Ring for NXT? While Vince may not want to promote a tournament concept, it seems like an ideal thing for NXT. Number two, is this NXT championship match the least inspiring in NXT history? Sullivan does absolutely nothing for me. Black is fantastic, but I have a fear this will be a disaster because Sullivan is simply lame and boring. What is the next worthwhile feud for Black? Because this is not what he needs to get heat for a main roster call-up. I thought this was a strong go-home show, and I have faith that Gargano Ciampa will be what we remember from the TakeOver card, but the rest of the card seems decidedly less inspiring than the past three TakeOvers. Thanks for your thoughts. NXT is still the best show on all week. I will say that although the card might be less inspiring from a who's going to win standpoint, I will say that I'm very excited about that tag match. I think it will be stiff and it will be fantastic. And if people set aside the fact that that the challengers have been treated as enhancement talent for their entire time in NXT, that is going to be a really good match and potentially the one we talk about if it's given the time. I would also say that King of the Ring 94 is not so bad, but that is because Owen Hart is my favorite wrestler and he won the King of the Ring. It's certainly better than going to King of the Ring 95 and watching Mabel win a tournament that everybody thought was going to go to Shawn Michaels. And then, of course, we do get to the NXT Championship match. Into that, I'm going to throw to Tom first on this last segment and whether we are looking at the least inspiring NXT title match in history?
It's in the conversation. I will say that possibly because I went into this segment thinking that I was just not going to like it, like, you know, seeing it live, knowing what was going to happen. It's basically a repeat of their last segment together. Because I had that low bar going in, I probably liked it a little bit better, and only for the fact that Lars, just that much more than he usually does, was sort of playing up his almost animalistic posturing. He just seems like the kind of guy that should be kept in a cage in the back, and the only reason he knows, you know, 5 and 6 syllable words is the same reason that Frankenstein's monster knew them. Like somebody just gave him a book, or sorry, that's a horrible redux of Mary Shelley's novel, but you know what I'm getting at.
Everyone has ruined that at this point. I mean, don't worry about the sanctity of that.
That's fair, that's fair. So, beyond that, though, yet again, they're hitting the fade to black catchphrase way too hard. Mm. And the positioning on the table was just awkward. Like, Mauro did what he could to save it by saying it was an altar, but you're going to bring a guy to a table after you've already decimated him and just pose? It was really strange. It just felt like something got... Gosh, I don't even know. It was like, wait, was he supposed to go over there and then he forgot what he was doing, or was he not supposed to go over there, but he went over there anyway and then realized, oh, shoot, I was supposed to end the segment a different way? I'm rambling through my own ridiculous thoughts in the matter right now, which is not helping anybody. I guess my only other thing is just like, wow, if you had any doubt in your mind that Alistair was going to retain on Saturday, I hope that it's dashed now.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Yeah, and I've had some questions because I think we've all wondered for a while when Alistair was going to go up, but I just don't see Lars holding that title right now. They put people in a position to sink or swim, and it's not that Lars is sinking, but I just can't imagine Lars Sullivan, NXT champion. I don't know what that title reign would look like. Not that Alistair's title reign has been exactly what we want, but I just can't imagine what it would look like otherwise. Justin, I know that you're kind of a Lars apologist. How do you think this looks?
An apologist, you know, I really enjoy watching Sullivan in the ring. I love his intensity. Like a lot of times we see these big guys, right, with these kind of lackadaisical attitudes. I love his intensity, and I think his promos are fun because he does that ranting and raving, spitting and slobbering, but he uses big words. So there's a lot to – I think the Sullivan character has some depth, and like I said, I'm really excited about his in-ring stuff. But what they've done with him is just absolutely boring. I hate to say that about somebody who I'm liking all the parts, but they're just not coming together into a whole that I appreciate. I liked him a lot more when he was having squash matches. I think that this feud has been so poorly promoted. I think that Aleister Black should not be holding the title. I think he should have just gone to the main roster because he's not – the title's not adding anything to him, and he is definitely not adding anything to the title. I think that, you know, Sullivan beating up Aleister Black 2 weeks in a row tells me that Black is going to win on Sunday. If we're traditional WWE booking, but this is NXT, so who knows? But I still think the right choice is for Black to retain. Black as champion just reminds me of Nakamura's champion, where I was really excited about the guy until he got the championship. And
And suddenly the company didn't know exactly how to handle that title reign.
Yeah, neither the title nor the man enhanced each other at all. And it happens sometimes. Sometimes it's just not the right fit. And this wasn't the right fit. Unlike Nakamura, though, we all knew this was the wrong fit. I can't stand these Aleister Black promos. And it's not anything that he's doing wrong. It's just the script sucks. And his character shouldn't be cutting promos. And this is stuff we've said a million times. Like, Aleister Black is becoming the new Adam Cole for me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm still kind of on board, but I really wish the talking was minimal. It's crazy.
It's like the one line we had in 12 months before was fine. And now we're getting entire promos from this guy.
And if he can do a little promo that doesn't totally tick me off, but if he's jumping into a promo and then also doing the catchphrasing that...
Oh, God, the catchphrase. Yeah.
That doesn't work for me for anybody, but in the mouth of a person like Black to take that guy and just strip him down to this corporate toadying catchphrasing idiot, oh my God. I thought about this.
When Bobby Roode rides Glorious into the ground, to me that's like this heelish thing he does that makes him a heel.
Fine when he was a heel. Because he's supposed to be self aggrandizing.
Exactly. And as a babyface, he's like, would you shut up?
To mention it actually meant something when he was in NXT. It had something to do with glorious. His character.
Right. He was glorious. He was winning matches.
Well, yeah, there was that.
But was there some Bobby Roode won on the main roster?
He was essentially working like a Rick Martel character, and it made sense for him to be doing that. So, oh, guys, I got riled. I got a little riled.
I'm angry. Like, my heart rate is up. Like, I'm physically angry.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a reasonably decent place to end. There's not as far as ending that show, we're going to run through a few predictions for who we think is going to win this weekend. Any other comments from you guys on the show that I might have missed while I am bringing up the card for TakeOver?
No, we didn't discuss our two favorite people in the world.
For me, that's both Dakota Kai.
I'm sorry, Dakota Kai's not in the Ricochet Velveteen Dream match.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. Did I? I'm sorry. We're getting to that because I'm doing the TakeOver preview. But if there was a moment where they were on screen, I unfortunately missed it. I did have to take care of a couple of kid things tonight, so if they were on screen,
Opening credits.
Oh, that's okay. When I started it late, that is apparently what I missed. So, all right. So we'll get to them and we'll talk about it. So let's talk about. Well, I think we all kind of just talked about that NXT championship match in the Black versus Sullivan match. I would have said Sullivan for a while, especially since they did have him as the plan for the guy who was going to be there at New Orleans, but he didn't contend there and he's now here. And I guess it could still happen, but I'm going to go ahead and say Black. Justin, you're going with Black here as well, or
I'm taking Black.
And Tom.
Yeah, I still have no idea what I was trying to say about Lars on the table about 5 minutes ago, but I'm definitely going Black here.
All right. Sounds good. Our probable main event, Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. Obviously lots of things they could do here and a lot of moving parts in this feud. Tom, go ahead and start this one.
I'm going to say Ciampa, which I don't like just because it opens it up to a rubber match, but I don't want the guy to lose twice. I know my rhetoric for the first match was that I thought that he would recover fine from a loss, no matter how humiliating. This time, I feel like the tables are turned where Gargano is Teflon, and I really want to see Ciampa come out of this with some credibility that he could possibly parlay into a feud with the victorious Aleister Black.
And Justin.
Flip a coin for me, please. God, I hope they don't go this route, but I could see this being like they knock each other out and it goes to a last man standing match in another 3 months or something. Street fight, no disqualification. Are they going to end up like brawling? Okay, we're in Chicago, so I guess they're going to end up brawling and one of them's going to get thrown into, Michigan, Lake Erie? Which Great Lake is next to Chicago?
Erie?
I'm pretty sure it's Lake Erie. Yeah, so it's going to be at the time when Kane threw somebody into the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
It's going to be like that. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be one of these fight forever things. And then, I don't know, Candice LeRae jumps out of the bushes with a kendo stick and camouflage and face paint and puts a knee brace on a pole.
When that's exactly what happens, I'm blaming you.
I don't know if you're overthinking or underthinking this, but either way, I appreciate what's happening. I'm going to say Tommaso for the same reasons that Tom is. I think that he needs a legitimizing win, and I think that it's fine if he cheats to win, whatever happens here.
It's a street fight. He can't cheat to win.
Oh, yeah, right. He won't have to.
But
he will do the more dastardly things. Right. And Gargano is Teflon right now, I think. Women's title, Baszler versus Cross. Another potential coin flip. But Baszler and Cross, go ahead, Justin.
Baszler.
Wow. Okay. That was a shorter answer than your last one. Tom.
I think we're getting one title change on this show, and I honestly don't know whether it's going to be the tag titles or the women's championship. I would probably be even more surprised I definitely would be surprised if Birch and Lorcan win their match against Undisputed Era, just to spoil my prediction there. With this one, it's like 51-49 Nikki Cross. I won't be surprised either way. I think there are plenty of good directions they can go with both of the individuals, no matter what the result is. But my gut's just saying Nikki here. So,
yeah. Oh, yep. Man, this one, I really do need to pull this quarter out of my draws and figure this out, because Baszler versus Cross is too close to call. I think that one of them will continue to anchor and the other one will probably go up soon, because what else are they going to do with them? Although we wondered what they would do with Nikki Cross, why didn't she go up? And she didn't go up so she could stay off TV for a long time. So that's what's happened with her so far. I feel like this is the title change I want to call, but I also don't know if Baszler has had it for long enough. I'm just, pardon me while I talk through my own thoughts here. I am going to say Cross. I do think this is like 51-49. Baszler having a short title reign is kind of a bummer, but I also think they need to move on with her and see what happens with Cross as a champion, because we know a lot about how people respond to her, but let's see how they think of her as a champion and how she fares as a champion. All right, let's go on to the one last tag team, one last title match on this show. Undisputed versus Lorcan and Birch. It's really tempting for me to call Lorcan and Birch here as far as that super crazy underdog goes and the kind of moment that would create, because having somebody that's such an underdog pull that off would be such a big moment. I feel like without Cole on the show to save the heat for Undisputed Era, that might be an odd thing. But I'm going to have to go with Undisputed Era here to extend the championship reign and to see where this goes as Bobby Fish continues to heal.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, same exact thing. The only reason I have Birch and Lorcan in the back of my mind as a possibility is because of how awesome that celebration after the match would be. Yeah. As you mentioned earlier, this is going to be a good contest either way. But I don't really see them taking the titles off of Undisputed Era right now, just for the sake of legitimacy for the stable.
Yeah, and Justin.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely the wrong time to take the titles off Undisputed Era. But God, a Lorcan and Birch win would just be so great. And those two could put on some great men. And I'm not saying that Strong and Fish and O'Reilly don't put on great matches. I don't think that Lorcan and Birch are quite at the same level as Strong and O'Reilly and Fish in terms of match quality, but they're darn close. Yeah. And I mean, I think they'd be totally worthy of carrying those titles. It's just, if this match was 6 months from now, I would say Lorcan and Birch with no reservations, or without reservations. We can't say no reservations. It's too soon. Without reservation, I'd say Lorcan and Birch if we're talking 6 months from now, you know. But at this point, as much as I want to see Lorcan and Birch win, it would be such a Cinderella story. It's just not the right time to take the titles off of Undisputed Era. And I'm not William Regal. I'm not Triple H. I mean, Paul Levesque. I don't know what's going on in their minds, but I could see them going either way on this. Get me another point, just not the one from your pants.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's the only coin I've got, so it's going to have to be. You're going to have to deal, man. Going to be a stiff show, a stiff match, good match, and I think probably the opener. It feels like the
match is
going to open this show.
That would be a hot opener.
Yeah. Good stuff. And
I think this is going to be a hot card in terms of match quality.
Yeah, I do too. It's a weird card, but other than the NXT title match, I think we're going to get some great in-ring action. And I'll tell you what, if that tag match starts, I think that I think that actually raises the chances of Lorcan and Birch winning, because hot match like that at the beginning of the show, that team winning, I think that could be a really crazy thing. But anyway, let's go on to the main event in all our hearts.
Oh, yes.
Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. This will be a glorious character study and a lot of fun. And will it be a great match? I think probably it will. But at any rate, it's going to be fascinating. And if that match doesn't start the show, it'll be this one. Either way, it's going to be great. Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. Justin, go ahead.
If this is not a 4-star match at minimum, I'm going to be furious. Because it should be a 4-star match. Like everything Bianca Belair is, Velveteen Dream is, in terms of that swagger, that character. And their characters could almost be like twins, other than the sexual tension of between me and Dream, but the way he looks at me with those triple lens sunglasses, I know he's talking to me.
Oh man,
you and
are... I'm so glad we have you, Justin. Go on.
And you know, Dream, you know, the characters, the promos, the in-ring work. I mean, we all know Ricochet can work. And Dream has proven without a doubt, you know, with his match against Black and his match against Ono, that he can work. So, you know, if there's if this isn't, you know, 4-star quality minimum in-ring action, and I truly believe that this will be match of the night. It's already feud of the night. It's already the feud of the night in my mind, right?
I think so, yeah. As far as the feuds go, we've got some decently well-told feuds, but this is the one where the and it happens a lot on TakeOver, right? Where one of where the best feud might be the one without the title.
Yep.
Nakamura and Gargano and Ciampa. Yeah, absolutely. It seems like in order to get on the show, in order to legitimize that non-title match, they've got to give it an extra hook. And so a lot of times that's what we're most excited about.
And the funny thing is that this feud, as well as the Black Dream feud from November, only had 3 or 4, you know, total segments involved, right? Where they go from these two are looking at each other for the first time to this is a red hot feud. And there's something about Dream where he can take a fresh feud and make you feel like you're headed into the third, into the blow off match, right, of a 3-match series, that level of red hot intensity. There's something about the guy where he can carry any feud to that next level so quickly and effortlessly. I really just want to like take Vince's copies of NXT that he watches and edit Dream right out of history, as far as Vince is concerned, so Vince never notices the guy.
So he doesn't take him up and then like job him.
Yeah, exactly. Like Vince will be like, hey, Paul, can you tell me why these episodes of NXT are only 37 minutes long?
Right.
Sorry, my big nose got in the way of the cameraman, and we had to cut it out. That's the ticket, Pops.
It's believable. It's believable. Vince will buy it. All right. You didn't pick a winner. I suppose you got to do that.
This is going to crush me to say this, but Dream has become the TakeOver equivalent of Cassius Ohno. He is the gatekeeper to the stars.
Right. Well, he can lose, and it doesn't matter because he keeps his heat.
I know,
at a Ric Flair level, where yeah, Ric Flair could lose over and over and over, and you didn't notice because he was so good at keeping his heat.
Yeah, and so and Ricochet is a star on the rise. I mean, we'd be idiots to think that Ricochet can afford a loss right here. I think,
yep,
Ricochet's gotta win. Dream's gonna make him work for it for 12 to 18 minutes, depending on where in the card it falls, and I'm gonna be salivating at every moment of the way, starting with the entrances and ending with whatever post-match happens.
Yep. I think this will get 30 minutes all told, not in the ring only, but counting pre and post-match, whatever. I would be upset if this went less than 30 beginning to end. But I will also say Ricochet for the same obvious reasons. Tom, what do you think?
Indeed, for those same reasons of Dream not needing to win and Ricochet absolutely needing to win, I am going with Ricochet. And it's been well documented at this point that I tend to criticize people of Ricochet's ilk of not utilizing enough psychology in their matches. And I think that this is going to be a psychological masterpiece. So I'm right on board with you guys. Very much looking forward to it. And Ricochet's coming out on top.
All right. And we have seen that Velveteen is putting together some of the best psychological matches of certainly anyone as young as he is.
Dunne, Tyler Bate.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Good stuff there. So,
Tyler Bate versus Dream. Wow, that would be a match.
Yeah.
Did I say Tyler Bate or Pete Dunne?
Bate and Dream did happen.
Dunne and Dream.
Yep.
And that'd be a real clash of styles too.
Yeah, a fun clash of styles. We'd see a lot of running by Dream, and I think that could be really fun. And his reactions to like that whole thing that Dunn does with the fingers on the, oh gosh, I really think his over the top reactions could be absolute gold. So
what we just fantasy booked was Dream being a surprise entrant into the UK championship.
I think that's what we did. We want him to be in it and to win it, if that's not too much to ask.
Dream is UK championship. That would be imagine the promos the guy would cut as UK champion. The Dream dominates the world.
Oh, and what would he wear? Like, how would that change his attire for those matches?
He would have these Union Jack tights, of course, and oh, it would be so amazing.
Yep. All right. Well, just as Justin drifts off into fantasy land here, we're going to go ahead and sign off. That is our show, PWT Talks NXT. I am Kelly Wells. You can find me on Twitter at Spooky Milk. A lot of new followers these last couple of weeks. Thank you for the follows. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for the questions on the show and for listening to the show. Tom, who are you?
I am at Tom Staup, and I hope my audio held up tonight. Last time there was weather in my area, I noticed it was cutting out, and hopefully that didn't happen again, because I don't like listening to it, and I know you guys don't either. I also want to point out that over the two nights of tapings, there were lots of dark matches. What I didn't realize were dark matches, and I reported them as being TV debuts for a lot of people, so I was mistaken, but if you want to know what they were and what how they turned out, you can check out my report. I will tweet out a link to it at Tom Staup.
I will tell you, Tom, that your audio sounded just fine on my end this time, and I could hear when you were having issues with the weather just fine this week, though. So, Justin, who are you?
I am at Justin_M_James, but by goodness, there's a chance I might have to change it to be Eyes for Dream.
Yep, that's the way things are heading. I got Dakota Kai, and you got Velveteen Dream. We cover all the bases here on PWT Talks NXT. We hope you dug the show. And Saturday, I believe Harley is gonna maybe show up, and he's gonna do the show with Harley and Justin?
It may be. We'll see.
We'll see. And next week, the usual gang of idiots will be back with you. So, cheers, everyone.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.